Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 welcome to Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I say it once again, welcome to Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I am your host with the most, Coach Lee, and you are rocking it here on Blog Talk Radio. Women's football talk continues, WFB talks continues here with Coach Lee. Yeah, I was off the scene last week. You know, hey, you know, sometimes you got to take a break, but I got a lot of emails for discussion this week, which was great. We're definitely going to have a good show. We're going to rock a good show. I don't know who's going to be on call in and check this out, but you know, you can always call in here on the wonderful station. You know, do your thing, you know. Anytime, any place, you can jump on in. Let's have some fun. All right, so let's go ahead and get started like we always do. But, you know, I got to give you the rundown on what we're going to do. Got to give you the rundown. Got to have the game plan. Just like a coach, you got to have the game plan for the game, yo. So here we go. First quarter, we're going to hit new teams in the what-ifs. Yep, new teams in the what-ifs. Another topic we got in the second quarter, tryouts. What to do and what to expect at tryouts. We always got the camp and conference updates. We got the five-minute drive, and we got the hot kneeing topics as the second half here on Blog Talk Radio continues. You listen to Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Let's go ahead and bust out, you know, our sponsors, get them out the way, then we get this game started. So, you know, here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go. Now you know, because it's always about you know who it is. That's, I love that song. Boy, that gets me rocking each and every day. I get up listening to that song. I get up putting on my Adidas. Why? Because Adidas is supporting me. I'm going to support Adidas, and Adidas is going to support you and all that other good stuff until I drill it in your head. You got to get behind the product before the product gets behind you. So anyway, you know what, let's get this game started. It always starts with a nice deep kick by our wonderful kicker here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. So let's go ahead and make that sound effect noise. And it's a deep kick out of the end zone. We want to make that team start on the 20-yard line or inside the 20. That is the goal of the special teams. Start the game off with a exclamation point. You know, shut them down, shut them down. But anyway, hey, again, like I said, I wasn't on the show last week. We had some things that we had to take care of, and I'm sorry if I missed out. But like I said, I'm here each and every Monday. I'm here to answer questions. I'm here to talk about issues and topics concerning women's football. I don't address no other sports such as, you know, baseball or soccer. All we talk about is football for women here on Blog Talk Radio Continues, Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I'm your host with the most. But anyway, topic number one, or quarter number one, new teams in the what if. As everybody know, I do run the Women's Tackle Football Group .neem.com board, and I'm always getting great topics emailed to me, great discussions. And there was a few emails regarding new teams. For those who are following women's football, the WFA has made announcements of several new teams, especially here on the West Coast. The IWFL has made announcements of one new team and another team that have left the WFA to go to the IWFL. But what I'm getting at is the most important part of this was new teams, you know, the what ifs. I think a couple of questions came about is, you know, what if a new team flops down their money to be a team, because most of them have to do that at some point in time, either through a payment plan or pay up front or whatever. What happens if the team folds or fails to put a team together by the upcoming season? What happens to their money? And I'm going to be general about this because, you know, again, each and every league has their own ways of handling situations. But from what I've seen in the past, leagues keep the money. It's non-refundable. Again, it's your job. Say if you're going to be a football team or an organization and you're making promises that you can get it together and you're telling the league that you can get together, now you have four or five other business partners that are in this with you, immediate business partners, as well as however many teams that are associated with the league as your business partners. But you're obligated to at least four teams playing four home games in four away. And in most leagues, you normally do a home and away series. There has not been a league that I know of as of yet that do have enough teams in one region or one area where they just play one team each year and alternate every other year. But again, you are a business partner. And I guess I'll put it this way, you know, with every business, especially a franchise business, and that's what sports is all about, is franchising. Franchising the product based on that shield, based on that that symbol, based on those acronyms of letters, be it WFA, be it IWFL, be it WPFL, be it NWFA. That's the premise or the base of women's football, is the league. Well, at least it should be. And you're buying into something that's supposed to be good, the league, that is. My analogy would be McDonald's. We all know that, you know, McDonald's is nationwide, worldwide, and all those other good things, and it's the proper way to build a Big Mac. And you got to go to McDonald's school to know how to cook the fries for this amount of time or whatever. Women's football haven't gotten there yet, to the point where they're able to put a square peg in a square hole and a round peg in a round hole, meaning that they have not really helped the teams out into helping them further themselves as far as expanding the league brand. Most teams, again, I know I'm off subject a little bit, but most teams have their own brand, and it's not necessarily the league's brand. because the leagues have not defined their brand as of yet or put forth enough money to brand themselves to be recognized as the league or a league of women's football. Again, it's on the piggybacks of the teams that do a lot of the work. So, again, as a new franchise, here I am, you know, laying down my money to join, because like the McDonald's franchise, I think it's $140,000 that it would take to be a franchisee of McDonald's. Well, in the women's game, you have fees as low as $1,200 from what I hear and as high as $7,500 from what I've heard to be a part of their league and associations. And that money is given to the league. Some leagues tell you, you know, where the money goes, some leagues don't. You know, that's up to them, and I'm not going to get into that situation. But once you lay down your ducats, your moolah, your dollars, your dinero, pretty much that is your signature of, hey, we're going to compete. We're going to be a team this year, and we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that we are here and we are there. In the emails, is it fair that a team that doesn't put together a team not get their money back? Well, like I said, it's a do-or-die situation because here you go. I mean, I've been a part of a situation where I've been part of two situations, I'll put it that way. One where I had a team fall apart in the middle of the season in another league, and, you know, and we wound up having to buy or a forfeit because the team fell apart, basically. And didn't complete the season as the original name of the team. And that's who I had a contract with, you know, the original team that signed with that particular league. That's who I had my contract with. So when they split up and left the ownership and the team, the players formalized their own team, we decided not to go and take that trip because that new team wasn't who we worked with. So the league had to grant us a forfeit win, and of course it saved us some money by not going, but in return there should have been some kind of funds given back to us, because again, we had to cancel a lot of our flights. You know, in this day and age, you know, a lot of our travel is taken care of up front, and so that's where some of that money is supposed to go to, some kind of security bond, some kind of forfeit bond, some kind of reinsurance that, you know, if I get on this bus and make all this travel arrangements, that if something do happen at the home field, I should be reimbursed, you know, and that's where some of the league fees should go. I don't know what every league has right now, but an insurance bond or some kind of check and balance system should be in place. And vice versa, what if I'm at my home game and all of a sudden the other team doesn't show up on a bus, car, plane, you know, scooter, whatever, they didn't make it. Well, I just spent $1,000 for my stadium. I spent $375 for the referees. I spent buku dollars on snacks and hot dogs and perishable things that can go spoil. The inconvenience of sitting there at the stadium and telling all your fans that there's no game, you know, that's a lot of damage, you know, damage control. So there should be something in return that if a team ever falls apart. And in the likelihood, you know, a new team will probably fall in that category more than a veteran team. But across women's football, at any given time, we're just one paycheck away from not showing up anyway. Just like reality, you know, we're one paycheck away from being homeless. Same thing with the women's football team. And like I said, I just speak straight about what I know and what's going on. I try to be real about it and not try to, you know, blow up any numbers and fascinate about, you know, how good women's football is. There's some trials and tribulations that we go through, and we just got to fight through it. But again, you are a business partner of mine, and I do not want you to forfeit. So it is my job to help you as much as I can and give you the ropes for a new team. You know, what if a new team doesn't have enough players? Again, it goes back on the leagues. It goes back on the ownership of that team. You know, there's some people out there that, hey, they just some good talkers, and, hey, I got 60 women on the team. I've heard this one and I've seen it. Oh, yeah, we got this whole region taken care of, and we got 60 women. Then 2 weeks before the season, they only got 10 people on their roster. You know, again, blowing up numbers. It's just killing some of the teams. But what happens then? Well, I know for a fact this year, we had a team that was in the same boat, and we wound up taking them off the schedule. You know, the bottom line is we can't rely on somebody who said they got X amount of people, you know, 3 months before the season, and then all of a sudden 2 weeks before the season, down to 10. Don't make no sense. But, you know, the reality is everybody pictures or paints a bigger picture than what's on the canvas. So somebody might have, you know, in reality, 12 people at their tryout and workout and been coming to the camp and everything. And then, but they've been telling everybody else, oh, yeah, we got 24, 36 girls on the roster. Well, I'll let you know, I got 85 girls on my email roster for this coming 2010 season. Have I seen all 85? No. Do I count all 85? Hey, I include them in everything that we do as far as emails are concerned and what's going on. But I know out of that 85, I'm probably going to see in reality probably about 55. You know, and then from that 55, I know in reality, I know I'm only going to keep probably 40 because 15 going to quit due to situation, due to financials, due to they footballing them, they get hit, and they just take off their stuff and walk off the field. So in reality, you know, yeah, we're looking at a little bit under half the numbers that we have for my team. Now, my team is different from your team, and you know, it might be a little bit different, and you might have more athletes or less players or whatever. But the what-ifs are big for new teams, and that's why it's so important for those veteran teams that have been around to reach out and talk to those new teams, talk to the ownership, talk to the marketing people, talk to the coaches, you know, because these are your business partners. They have to show up in order for you to show your product out on the field, you know. A lot of us lack communication on just talking with each other. I don't care about bragging. You know, me and Coach Anthony, we always bragging and talking smack to each other because it's just we just guys like that. But just a real professional attitude towards each other. Hey, you know, when are you coming to town? Have you thought about this resource? You know, instead of using Greyhound, use a charter bus. Or have you thought about getting chartered, you know, minivans or whatever, to help alleviate the cost, you know. What hotels are close to the stadium that we can get a great deal in, you know. Is that one of your sponsors, you know. It's the what ifs, you know. And you can't expect a new team to be the one to ask all these questions. It's got to be you veteran teams out there that bring in these teams and really dedicate yourself into at least giving them 2 years of your time so they can learn the ropes. You know, a lot of teams come and go because they don't know the ropes. A lot of teams come and go because other people on the team feel they can do a hell of a lot better, you know, because management might be shaky, you know. You know, the owner of the team might be on the team. Who knows? You know, owner might have 9 jobs to do. The owner might be the only one putting up the bread to make it happen. But the bottom line is, the what ifs are all about those who are here. Those who are here have to help those who are new. Haven't seen it much in my 5 years, you know. Basically, it's been seen as new teams, a new prey, an easy victory, another win, a blowout, a chance to get everybody to get in the game, you know, type of relaxation, type of party, you know. Instead of saying, hey, what can we do to help them get better? Hey, can we come down to your tryout? You know, I'll bring, you know, 10 girls just to make sure that you got enough girls to run some drills to show the other girls that other women do play this game. You know, you ain't got to do your secrets and all the other stuff. The fact is, you know, catching balls, how to run routes, how to tackle, form tackle, how to run sprints, how to do power skips, you name it, you know. Use the resources that we have that are already available, and it won't be any what-ifs. But, you know, that's a great topic on the Ning board about what happens with a new team and the what-ifs. My thing is, again, we have to come strong. We got to come together, and we got to make sure there is no what-ifs. And if there is some what-ifs, we got answers. You can't tell me I've been in this business for 5 years and I don't have the answers, or some answers, as well as other teams out there. You know, show them how to fundraise. Show them how to do community service work. Show them how to have nice-looking uniforms. Show them how to, you know, practice and be productive. We want to eliminate the what-ifs. What-ifs don't need to be what-ifs here. Because you rocking four quarters, Coach Lee. That's all I got to say. You know, quarter goes by fast once again. Man, it's like we just took the ball and just handed the ball off like 40 times to the running back, and they just averaged 3 yards to carry. We went on it for it on fourth down and just went 80 yards on them. And they didn't even get the ball. But, you know, that's how it goes here, four quarters, Coach Lee. We're going to end quarter number one again. Quarter number one was talking about new teams in the what-ifs. We got to eliminate those what-ifs. We got to make our product better. We got to help those who are young organizations get better. And let's move on to a commercial, because you know who it is. It's all about Adidas. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Them Adidas, we Adidas, he Adidas, wear Adidas, Adidas. That's how it goes. As you can see, I'm a marketing cat. I just like ringing your bell with Adidas, because that's what it's all about. We got to make sure that we project our sponsors out there, give them the exposure that they deserve, because they're putting the money in your team's pocket, putting shoes on your team's feet, putting product on your team's backs. And you got to really push the issue, okay? You really got to push the issue. And again, this is your boy, Coach Lee, here on Blog Talk Radio continues. Four Quarters with Coach Lee, once again, each and every Monday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's East Coast time. That's what, 10 o'clock starting your time? So I know you got to get up. So you got to wake up. Because we in quarter number two. Quarter number two is tryouts. What to do and what to expect. Oh, that's one of the hot topics, too, that I get a lot of emails on, you know, because you got a lot of young ladies out there who are, I won't say gun shy, but hey, they never played football before. They don't know what to expect. So I give them the basics just like this. I say, look, hopefully you're an athlete. Coaches understand you have not played football. So they're looking at potential or what you can do. If you're an athlete and you can show just some skills, agility skills, some hands, some speed, some aggressiveness, then you're okay. You should be okay with the coaching staff if you can show those things. What tends to happen at a tryout, for a women's tryout? I've been to several, to a few, and... you know, some try to run it like the NFL Combine. If you got DirecTV and you got MTV, boy, I'd rather go to MTV. If you got the NFL Network and you happen to watch in the springtime when they're doing the NFL Combine, a lot of teams measure, use a lot of measurements to grade their players. One of the greatest measurements in football is the 40-yard dash, which I think is kind of overrated, because it's not often you're going to run 40 yards each and every play from a track start, you know, and be rested up and all this other good stuff every play. So it's a measurement of speed. You know, speed kills. I must say speed kills. especially in women's football. Speed kills. So the 40-yard dash is probably the biggest thing that you got to prepare for. They look at broad jump and vertical jump as explosiveness or explosive drills, measurement. So vertical jump is very important. You know, you got to be able to jump and get the ball when it's in the air, might jump over somebody. But in reality, you're not going to just stand there in one spot and keep pumping your arms until you get a good rhythm and then jump up off of both feet. That seldom happens on the football field. But again, it kind of measures explosiveness. Also, the broad jump, meaning not only do you get up vertically, but how far can you jump out is another good measurement of explosiveness. What else could be done? The cone drills, changing directions from left to right, back to left again. Starting in the middle, run 5 yards to your right, ten yards to your left, and then back across the middle again. Again, it's about quickness. You know, linemen, definitely. You know, actually, going back to linemen in the 40, they run the 40, but the 20 is the only thing that counts for NFL linemen. And I can say the same thing for women linemen. On any given play, you might run anywhere between 10 yards one way, 10 yards up the field, and 10 yards to your left or 10 yards to your right, or even 10 yards backwards. So that's a good measurement for linemen. Again, what goes on, what to expect. Another measurement situation is weight, how tall and how much you weigh. And being stereotypical of football players, the bigger and the broader you are, the more likely you will be a lineman type. The smaller, the thinner, the faster you are, the likelihood you'll be more of a skills person. Not to say that a big girl can't be a wide receiver, because there's a few out there that can. They got hands, And not to take away from a little girl being on the O-line, If she got heart, then it takes that at times. But that's being stereotypical on size-wise. So if your body measurements, are a 180 and above, most likely you're sitting on the line somewhere or at a linebacker position. Might be a fullback. If you between, 160 and 175, again, linebacker, running back, possible receiver, anything under 145, possibly running back, wide receiver, DB. And if you're smaller than 115, sometimes that's kicker, wide receiver type of situation. It all depends on what your body makeup and type is for that. So, again, they do measurements, how tall you are, how much you weigh. Then you go to position drills, position-specific drills. So if you're a lineman, you're going to work on lineman-type drills, getting three-point stands, pulling to your left, pulling to your right, blocking a sled, hitting bags, chop stepping, jumping over bags, kicking, not necessarily kicking like your feet kicking a ball or anything, but kick back. It's a lineman name for the particular drill. I can't think of it offhand, but it's pass protection basically. Okay, and you're pushing off your front foot and just kicking your other foot up so you can get depth, okay? You will see if you can tackle, how well you can learn plays. Do you understand offensive holds, meaning 2, 4, 6, 8 to the right, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 to the left. If you're a wide receiver, again, you're going to run the 40, you're going to do the jumping. Then the coaches want to see, can you catch? Do you catch with your hands? So there should be a lot of drills where you're catching with your hands and not your body, catching over your shoulders, catching with one hand. Got to have good eye and hand coordination. As a quarterback, basically, can you three-step, one-step, three-step, five-step, in some cases, seven-step? Can you take a snap? So, again, it all depends on what your mind frame is and what position you're going for. I know in our quarterbacks, we really drill because we try to eliminate a lot of people right off the back from quarterback, because it's a position that you got to spend a lot of time in teaching. And you can't teach five or six girls or five or six football players. You got to get your top three and roll from there. So as a quarterback, I'm looking at footwork. I'm looking at power. I'm looking at release. I'm looking at how far can you throw it. I'm also looking at how smart you are, how fast you pick up. Because, again, quarterback got to be pretty swift on their feet. They got to be swift. So, again, that's some of the things that we're looking at. It all depends on what type of offense you run. Are you going to be just a turnaround and hand the ball off? Are you going to run an option? Are you going to run a veer? You know, are you going to run a spread option? Are you going to run a shotgun? You know, it all depends on what your team is running. You know, whatever that offensive coordinator or head coach determines their style of offensive play. Running back is going to learn how to take the ball the correct way. When you run into the right, it'll be left elbow up, about nipple height, and right arm down to make a little box, and that'll be right below your belly button so you can make your bread box. Teaching you how to take the ball that way, teaching you to run the sweep, how to read blocks, how to block, pass block, lead block. Again, all these things are done with no equipment. I don't recall any team out there having open tryouts and equipment was required. I think the mandatory equipment will be shorts, sweats, T-shirts, most likely in the colors of the team that you're trying out. If not, they have shirts that have the name on it that you might purchase or you get for your initial fees, the tryout fees or whatever. What else? You know, again, running back got to be able to catch the ball out the backfield. So, again, you got to learn the swing pass and the out pattern, a hook, out and up, some of the main pass patterns that running backs run. And that's it for offense. Defense, you know, D-line is, you know, moving your hands, moving your feet, quick hands, engaging, disengaging, linebackers, you know, fitting the gaps. Dropping back in pass protection, you know, knowing the game. Again, the quarterbacks on the defense are middle linebackers and free safety. So, again, you got to put in a lot of work, mental work of what football is all about. The next thing, again, free safety, you're going to work on backpedaling. Again, the key to our, when I'm teaching DBs, you know, we already off at 7 yards, 6 or 7 yards off. And we must backpedal 10 yards as fast as somebody can run 20 yards. So if that's the case, we're still getting beat a little bit because, again, if somebody raced 20 yards and I'm 70 yards off of them and I need to run at least 10 yards as fast as they can run 20, that means if they'll be at 20 yards, we'll be at 17, so we just got beat. So, again, that's just the ideal figure out there. You got to be able to run just as fast, half the distance of the person running forward just as fast as they run that distance, okay? So that's something that we definitely work on, and we work on timing. We work on footwork, you know, planting, drive, intercepting the ball, breaking on the ball, tackling. Again, not necessarily full-out tackling because you ain't got the pads on, but just fitting up, meaning ear across the chest and wrapping up, grabbing your wrist all the way around the person's body and then bear hugging and driving your feet. And tackle, but grab them, walk them through, and then tug them, and then fall on a nice mat. So, again, you know, a lot of people are intimidated by when they hear tryout, tryout, tryout. You know, a lot of teams only do tryouts. And some, I understand and I don't understand. You know, my thing is how can you have somebody try out for something that they never done before, they don't know nothing about. So you got to be able to have some kind of pre-tryout practices to get the girls to understand what they're going to be going through for tryouts. I know in our football 101 classes that we do, the first 45 minutes is we working out. We're running. I got my best friend in the hill. He got a companion called the Trash Can, and I had a couple of players visit Trash Can after meeting the hill. So you got to get in shape to get in shape for football. So, again, you got to introduce that aspect of it. We also do the weight room situation. You know, it's a very important key to trying out. Some teams have a bar out there, a 45-pound bar. They might add 30 pounds on there to make it 75 pounds. I think it goes up to 100 pounds, 115, How many times can you bitch press that? I know in the NFL, it's 225 is a magical number. Press that as many times as you can to show a sense of strength. So that's something you definitely. And during your off season, you should have a strength program. If you're not taking yourself serious and getting stronger and better, then who will? So again, take yourself serious. Get out there. Relax, though. Relax. You know, the more opportunities the team has to have tryouts or, quote, practices, you should go. The more opportunities the coaches have to see you. You know, I don't think it's fair that I don't host the football one-on-one classes or workouts. Football season's over with, and then we go 4 months, and then I'm having tryouts. And I just make a big call out, hey, women's football, try out. Come check us out. Ain't going to happen because a lot of women that you're going to have or a lot of the players you have aren't going to be in football shape. So it's not fair. You got to really look into their skills. You must look into the skills as a coach. You know, the coach's job is to evaluate potential. Unlike in NFL, they're not looking for potential. They're looking for that fit, that person, that one, that the one that's going to get it done. But with women's football, you got to see potential. And you got to see a player for a little bit more than what they think they can do. You got to be able to put them in two or three positions, give them the best opportunity. So, again, a lot of women come in there wanting to be quarterbacks and can't throw 5 yards. You got a lot of women that want to be running backs that can't run under 5.4 seconds, which is not that fast. But, you know, there's linemen that can run that fast. So what I'm getting at is, as a new person to women's football, you got to have an open mind. You got to come in and say, hey, I'm coming here to make the team. Wherever the coach needs me, I'm there. Don't be such a selfish person and say it's quarterback or nothing and you can't throw worth a dime. You know, so, again, go to the camp. I mean, go to the tryout, open mind, go relax. Make sure you hydrate prior to, you know, just because it's cold don't mean you can't dehydrate. You might get excited out there, overextend yourself. You know, and definitely, you guys, stretch. You should be stretching now until the season's over with. It's part of slowing down or reducing injury. There we go. It reduces injury if you're flexible. Because, again, a lot of muscles tear and rip because you're not flexible. And you're going to get caught upside down and some other stuff in football, and that's how a lot of injuries happen. But you should be stretching. You should be lifting. You should be running. You know, I had a question about should they go run a marathon. I'm like, no. There's no time and place in the football game where you have to run a marathon. Again, the average football play lasts between 4 to 10 seconds. That's how far you got to run. However far you can run full speed for 4 seconds or 10 seconds and do a bunch of reps. Mind you, if you're on the football field and you just play defense, you might be on the field for 40, 45 plays. So you need to run 45 sprints at some point in time. You need to work your way up to that. So what to expect, again, an opportunity to be seen by the coaches, to be seen by the experienced players. There's not many teams that have rookie-only tryouts in the veterans automatically make a team. I think 99% of all the teams have all the players go through tryouts to fairly evaluate the situation. On my team, it's open competition. You know, I got a quarterback that's thrown for over 1,000 yards the last 2 years. The job is just not hers. It's not handed to you. You got to compete. So you don't hear that word a lot. You got to compete. You got to encourage yourself, and you can't quit. I don't care if you're tired. Don't be a quitter. Show your players, show the coaches that you got heart. That's what they talk about when it's hard. It's like you don't give up, you don't quit, no matter if you're in last place rolling up that hill or if you're the only person still winning. Don't quit. So, again, tryouts. You know, when are they? A lot of teams are starting to have their tryouts right now. I know teams as early as beginning of September having tryouts, you know. I don't know what their policy is about tryouts, and then, you know, that's their team, and then, you know, when somebody get hurt, are they allowed to allow players to come on? Do they allow players to come on? You know, somebody might hear about you in January, and you already set your team, you know, with your roster, and you might have an all-star But, you know, if you close your roster down, then she will never get an opportunity to see or see the field or see daylight. So, again, as coaches, as owners, you know, I think you should run some kind of off-season training practices to see the many attributes that each player has on the team. Some players might have to go both ways. Some players can kick. Some players are runners. I mean, you got to see it all. So give them the opportunity to see them. And players, you got to give yourself the opportunity by making it to all the practices, even if they're not mandatory. It shows initiative that you're out there. It shows that you're committed. And, you know, hey, you want to make it happen. So, again, hey, I'm just telling you what to expect. I'm just telling you what goes on. You know, it might be different here, might be different on the West Coast, it might be different on the East Coast, but the bottom line is the coaches want to evaluate your athletic abilities and plug it into their system to make them a better team. So, you know, at this point again, hey, like I said, time be rolling. You know, we over halftime by 11 minutes. We went down, you know. Any injury took place? Was there a medic called or something? I don't know. But we better hit this commercial or else. So in the second quarter, again, tryouts, what to do, what to expect. Hey, just go out there, relax, go have some fun, play loose, be aggressive, and all other things will come into place. All right? So we're going to end this quarter. Quarter number two is over, and it's half time. Oh, yeah. Like I said, my Adidas, your Adidas, we all rocking them Adidas. Well, at least we should be. But anyway, hey, we're going to probably mix quarter number three and quarter number four together. So I'm going to roll it like this because we only got about 15 minutes left in this game. And we got to pull out some stops here and we got to mix some things up. But the bottom line is this, you guys. Hey, we're moving on to the second half and we just label that second half. All right? You know, hey, I'm always plugging in the Ning board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group. Ning.com. It is the number one women's networking board, I mean, football networking board for women. I think we were rocking almost 1,600 members. Hey, my expectation was to have 10,000 by the end of 2009, and it still can happen. But each one of you guys got to get out there and get your teammates on there. You got to get your team ownership on there. You got to get your coaches on there. And it's time to socialize. It's time to network. It's time to help each other out, you guys. That's what it's about. Women's Tackle Football Group. Ning.com is where it's at. What did I say? Women's Tackle Football Group. Ning.com. All right. Let's talk about, hey, it's almost that time, yo. You know what? The camp is right around the corner, and I'm excited. I'm excited. We have done some great things and got some great speakers that we'll be updating the website this week on. But I just run down the list. You know, again, the Camping Conference, Women's Football Camping Conference, the only camp in the world designed for women in the world. There is no other like it. There is no other like it. And if you're missing out this opportunity, you're missing out a once in a lifetime. Not to say it's only going to happen once, but it's going to come back. Year in and year out, we're going to be the staple of women's football. We're going to be the reason why women's football is on the map. We're going to be the reason why we're recruiting better athletes because they're coming to the camp and conference and they're getting better at their position. You know, I was just talking to, Hot Dogs, not the Hoffy Hot Dogs, but even that's one of my sponsors, Hoffy. But yeah, we talked about this camping conference and some of the players that, you know, would be idea athletes, you know, to come in and expose themselves to women's football, like a Lisa Leslie, you know, like a Marion Jones. Can you imagine Marion Jones being on the football field, 5'11", what is she, about a 165, and running like the wind? I don't know if she can catch, but I'd definitely give her a couple of pitches on the outside if they try to catch her. But we got to get some exposure like that. I mean, we talked about that. And what better way to introduce those type of names to women's football without committing their full season is coming to the camping conference and seeing how hard it is in comparison to being a basketball player, or being a track star, or being a soccer player, you know, or being a lacrosse player or a tennis player. You know, Serena, I think Serena would be an awesome outside linebacker, you know. She's mean and everything, you know, and she can move and she got good lateral movement because of tennis. Again, as a coach, you got to use the sports that women have been involved in all their life and kind of cater it to football. How can they use and apply those same skills? And that's what the Women's Football Camp and Conference is all about, is improving skills. But we don't get there. It's January 7th through the 10th. Registration for the Camden Conference expires this Saturday. What is this Saturday? I can't even think about it. This Saturday is actually October 31st at midnight. So on Halloween night, when it turns 12 o'clock, it'll be actually November 1st. That's when the tickets go off sale. There is another fee to get in. That's a lot more than the $150, and I hate for those who have to go and have to spend that much more money because of laziness or tardiness or procrastination, or they just didn't have the money. But hey, there's been opportunities out there that we put out there to help get to this camp. So don't think Coach Lee got you out there by yourself. I want you out there, you know. But let's run down real quick. Let's run down what we got, okay? Right now, you know, I'll let you guys know, I'll do a sneak preview. Is that we just signed Rogers Equipment Company as the title sponsor, you guys. Rogers Equipment Company. For those who don't know what Rogers Equipment Company is, it's the ultimate bag and sled company for football. They are the bag and sled company for just about every major college in the United States, high school, whatever. But you see those different bags, the dummies that you can hit, and they pop back up like Weeble Wobbles when we were little. You know, we wobbles, you can hit them, but they can knock them down, but they don't fall down or something like that. I forgot. Yeah, I forgot the commercial, but I'm sorry about that. But anyway, they make specific training equipment for football, be it the ladder drills, the ropes, the one-man sled, tackling sled, the 2, 3, 4, 5, 7-man sled. That's where football is won, in the trenches, and you got to have this type of equipment. They will be supplying all the equipment for this camping conference. So it is going to be off the hook. But, yes, it is now called Rogers Equipment Company Presents Women's Football Camping Conference 2010. So that's one of our big announcements that we had to make. We got a ball company, Spalding. Spalding will be providing the balls. We got the Rio Hotel. Again, I only got a certain amount of rooms over at the Rio that are on lockdown, so you got to get over there and take care of your business, you guys. The Comfort Inn is also the official stay of the Women's Football Camping Conference, which is right across the street from UNLV. Well, let me go back. We got UNLV facilities, 3 football fields. 2 of them are the grass turf. The other one is just regular grass. So we got plenty of room, plenty of space of nothing but football going down. We also got Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap is one of our sponsors. Of course, if you register for the camp, that's where you go through, ticketleap.com, or you just go to womensfootballcamp.com and click the registration button, and booyah, you there. Of course, we got Enterprise Running Car. Why? Because they will pick you up. So, again, for those who are coming, you know, flight, whatever, hey, get you a nice little compact car, and you can go see all of Vegas. You're going to be here 4 days, 3 nights and 4 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Hey, live it up. Live it up. But you know what? We're here to take care of business. We're definitely here to take care of business. You know, another sponsor we got is our one and only Women's Football Talk. You know, they're going to be there covering the different speakers, different guests, the different events. Last year they did a great job of tape recording some of the events. This year I'm definitely going to film. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check out that little commercial that I put together. I got one that's about 45 to 60 seconds that I can actually run. But I think I put a little bit more into that one just to get so you get a feel of what's going on. Because some people don't understand what a football camp and conference is all about. And I didn't get a chance to film the people who were at the speaking engagements. So, you know, I'm learning. I'm learning. That's why I got a team that's going to be picking up on these things. All right. Also at the camp and conference, that's going to be on January 7th through the 10th. You know, the speakers. Confirmed speakers right now, we got Tina Murphy, who is the executive director of the Las Vegas Bowl. She is the only female executive director of any Division I Bowl. She's also a major player at ESPN. We got Ron Katowski, who is the head sports writer for the Las Vegas Sun. He will be there. We got Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington, the owner of the Lone Star Mustangs. We got You First Marketing, I mean, you guys just don't understand. This group of marketeers are so awesome. They are going to tell you how to brand your team and how to market your team. You know, give you step by step. You're going to leave there with some tools in your hand. Okay? We got my girl Ann Kip Watson. She's going to be talking about the mental state of players. It's going to be a great session. We got Nikki Johnson, a Las Vegas showgirl, and also she's an ambassador for the NFL flag football program for women. She's going to be on the panel along with Cassandra Austin, who's a retired Las Vegas showgirl and ex-Houston Energy player. They're going to be on the panel. We got David Ross, who's going to be talking about sponsorship, you guys, how to get them. This is what he does. Himself. And also Lynn Corman, she's with Corman Consulting. Both of them will be sitting up there and doing presentations on how to attract sponsors, not just little simple sponsors, the $100 sponsors, but the $10,000, $15,000, $30,000 sponsors, giving you step-by-step on how to get it done. We also got a JD or a lawyer coming down talking about business structure. I haven't confirmed which one we're going to use yet, but like I said, there's going to be a panel talking about, you know, should we be nonprofit or should we be an LLC and give you the advantages and disadvantages. I'm also in the talks with a few of the WNBA women's basketball teams, marketing and publicity directors, communication relations director. I'm just waiting on them to go ahead and confirm before I, you know, throw them out. I don't want to try to, you know, put their names out there and they ain't showing up. I'm talking to some folks over at the UFL, United Football League, the new Men's Football League, some high people in high places over there to come and speak to us because they were able to start and get a deal on TV. How did they get it done? We don't know. But like I said, I got about four franchises from the WNBA and talking about women's sports in general, talking about how, you know, how difficult it is to niche yourself in the market. Mind you, they only have, 12 teams, 16 teams for WNBA. So, you know, they don't have many marketplaces like we do in women's football. There's over 100 of us teams. And we got how many players? Anywhere between 25 to 35 players per team. So we got a lot more people, but they do get a lot more exposure. As far as the coaches are concerned, you guys, we got Matt Kosh from the West Michigan Mayhem. We're going to be coaching quarterbacks. We got Brent Salisbury, certified sports nutritionist and former pro football player as a quarterback. We got George Maulu, who is a former U of A, University of Arizona quarterback. He's also the president of the Polynesian football camps that go overseas and help with all the Polynesian and Pacific Islander players. He'll be there. You got Coach Baker of the of the head coach of the Austin Outlaws, who will be coaching the running backs and fullbacks. We got Dan Lickness from the head coach of the Minnesota Machine coaching running backs. Oh, let me hurry up. We got Mark Ring, who was the OC and offensive line coach for the SoCal Scorpions back in 2005. He's actually highlighted in the video teaching that kick step that I was talking about. I got some other people here that just haven't confirmed yet for O-line. As far as linebackers concerned, we got Coach Anthony Bartley with the California Lynx. I got two other linebackers I'm waiting on the word to come back to get back from them. We got Coach Evans, head coach of the Binghamton Tiger Cats. He's going to be coaching DBs. We got Coach Webb, former DB coach of the Houston Cyclones. I think he's going to be the current coach of Carolina Queens. We got Stan Davis, who used to be with the Cincinnati Bengals as a defensive back coach. He was also a defensive coordinator in AFL-1 with the Chicago Force, or was it the Chicago Rush? One of the two. I think it was the Rush. Currently, he's the AFL-2 Oklahoma City Yard Dogs defensive coordinator. We got Coach Benjamin. He was a DC for the SoCal Scorpions back in 2007. We got Frank Brown, Austin Outlaws, D-line. We got Lynn Lumley, who's going to be from the Portland Fighting Phillies, D-line. I'm working on a couple of special teams coaches that's going to just strictly coach kicking, that's punting, and PATs, and field goals, because I think some of the women here have legs. And I ain't just talking about pretty legs. I'm talking about boots. I'm talking about they can kick the heck out of that football. With some accuracy and some coaching, hey, we should be kicking 45, 50-yard field goals. We got speed and conditioning coaches coming. Hey, we got it all, you guys. You guys just don't understand what is being lined up for you guys. And, yes, once you are in the camping conference, you are able to go and listen to other sections. If you're a player, you can go listen to the owner session. We got it pretty much broken down that, you know, you can go and listen to here and there. We don't have nothing that really overlaps that shouldn't overlap. If you're a player during practice time, then you should be at the practices, and we try not to have you miss much of anything of what's going on. But we're going to have a great time here in Vegas. We are going to have a great time in Vegas. We got a great lineup coming up, and like I said, over the next couple of weeks, we will be updating. We will be having interviews here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee each and every Monday night. From here on out, it's all about the camp and conference, you guys. It's about setting the tone for 2010. It's about making this happen. It's about taking this sport serious. It's about moving this sport forward. It's about improving the game. That's what it's all about. And I'm hearing my music already. Man, time flies. This is at 8 o'clock already. Hot dogs. Happy hot dogs. You know, again, I like to thank my sponsors, Adidas. You know, my Adidas, your Adidas. We Adidas. We all need to rock some Adidas. And you know, Enterprise. Enterprise. Why? Because it will pick you up. You know, like I say, you guys, hey, we rocking and rolling Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I'm going to bring it to you straight, give it to you straight up how it goes. And like I said, there's going to be some important things jumping off in 2010. And I hope you are a part of it. I'm going to be a part of it, and I'm going to do my darndest to make sure that it is the best that it can be, that is nothing better than what we got going on. So make sure you go to the Women's Football Camp and Conference. No, actually, womensfootballcamp.com. I got so much on my mind. Refuse to think about everything at the same time. But anyway, hey, I'm your coach. I'm heading out of here. I got to hit the road, Jack. You know, I'll be back next Monday with my guests. I don't know who they are right now, but I definitely will get them over to BJ. She'll definitely get to tweeting them out, doing what she got to do. Because it's all about you. It's all about the fans. It's all about the sport. And it's all coming from the heart, yo. So I'm Coach Lee. I'm out of here. Peace.